It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Merry Christmas, Prime Minister.
Merry Christmas.
How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
And so you're sort of packing up? Do you get to pack up and sort of wind things down? Or is it, so you're starting to, do you pay someone to get to buy gifts for you now? What do? Do you just send out a card?
No, I'm still plucking away at my Christmas cards because I'm so stubborn and I still insist on doing them all myself, and it takes an extraordinary amount of time. So they're turning into New Year cards now.
And plus you have that with that position of power too, where people go, oh, I got a card from the Prime Minister, I didn't send her one. Oh, shit, oh. All right.
They don't run that risk if it arrives after Christmas. Right. But it's a nice chance to just say thank you to everyone who works so hard during the year. So I
what a year it's been. What a year it's been. So how do you say thank you for that to everyone?
Yeah, it is quite hard because we never achieve these things on our own. There's a huge number of people who keep just government, parliament ticking over. We've got the adjournment debate today, so that's the last debate of parliament for the year. And nice tradition, it's used to really say thank you to everyone who works so hard during the year.
Because it can be a brutal and thankless place, can't it?
It can be, and yet there are incredible people work here. And people that, do the thankless jobs, like security, who do a great job of keeping us safe but still making this place quite accessible. If you visit any other parliaments or state government buildings around the world, we're pretty accessible and yet still safe, so they do a really good job.
It's very interactive. Hey, it turns out we found out yesterday there's going to be the binding referendum, which is a big deal in itself, on legalising cannabis for personal use at the 2020 election. So that's an important election for you. It'll be at the end of your first term. It was an election campaign sort of a discussion that was being had that possibly is part of the reason that you guys got in this time round, that you were leaning towards discussing that. It's obviously internationally, it's become a much bigger story as well. And how are we going to get there, and what's the question going to be that we're going to be asked to answer?
There's still a bit to be worked through. So in our confidence and supply agreement with the Green Party, that was one of their requests on forming government, that they wanted a referendum by 2020. So what we've essentially settled on is we will undertake that at the election. There's some good reasons for doing that. It's a more efficient a way of doing it because everyone's out voting already anyway. What we have to work through in the intervening period is what the question looks like and what sits behind the question, so how you ensure that we follow through on people's request afterwards in terms of legislation. So that's some bits we're still working through, but we needed to give enough notice for the Electoral Commission to plan for it.
Sure. And being part of the deal to form a coalition with the Greens, how reluctant was Labor to discuss it, to go ahead with that? Was there some hesitation within the party at all?
No, very open to asking the question. I mean, essentially what we're doing here is empowering people to have their say and determine what we do, because I think a lot of people are, some people have very firm views either way, but there'll be a number of probably parliamentarians who feel probably a bit conflicted over this one. On the one hand, you don't want people criminalised. On the other, you don't want harm to kids and young people. Well, we know their brains are still developing, so it's not an easy issue, and actually it's really helpful to get a guide from the public into where their sentiment is.
Yeah, you'll just sit around and have a drink and talk about it.
Encourage discussion for sure.
It seems to me that the question is going to be whether if you don't understand both sides, but you're either going to go it's dangerous, and people we should be aware of it, or the other side of the argument is we're wasting so much time and money trying to prosecute people for it, and it's hurting the country in that respect. I think if you can take both of those arguments and be informed on both of those sides of the argument, then you can make a good choice when it comes to the referendum.
And I think what we will hope is that there will be a lot of informed discussion. What we've done in the intervening period, of course, we had the mental health inquiry come back very recently, where it said that they have promoted the idea of basically decriminalising for possession, changing the Misuse of Drugs Act. That's quite a significant step. What we've announced recently, which doesn't go as far as what they would have liked, but what we've announced is is in our response to synthetics, we had a request from the expert advisory group that we up the classification of synthetics to Class A. That would give the police more powers to deal with those who are manufacturing and supplying a drug that is killing people. The coroners have told us the degree to which it is. But what we didn't want then was when you automatically reclassify something to Class A, it brings with it possible imprisonment for users. And we thought that's not the way to deal with that side of the problem. So, yes, the decision we've made is we will lift those penalties for suppliers and manufacturers, but we'll put into the Misuse of Drugs Act essentially guidance for the police that we would like them to use their discretion to take a therapeutic approach,
right?
Unless it's in the public interest to prosecute. So, and that goes for all possession. And so really trying to move to that health-based approach.
And synthetic drugs, does that mean basically anything that's cooked up or anything that's any
there
sort
are
of...
Specific, yeah. There are specific ingredients which we've classified,
right.
Those known that are causing the most harm currently. But what we have done is also create a category of Class Cs. These things are evolving so quickly that we'll be able to very quickly
very difficult,
add that
yeah.
to the schedule. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the congratulations for all that, because I think that's a positive thing. I think that's really, I think that as soon as we get a hedge around that, we become a little bit more in touch with what's going on in the mental health system and the health system and, of course, the prison system. Disturbing behaviour revealed by spine investigation. It wasn't when you were in the office there. But we worried that there's this Thompson and Clark spying on earthquake victims. That was, we knew about that at the time. It sort of came up, but now it's been the investigation's proven that it was in fact true. They were spying on a private investigation firm spying on earthquake victims during
claimants.
Meetings about insurance and stuff like that.
And that wasn't the only thing that's been discovered. And so I guess to give it some context, companies like Thompson and Clark are used for legitimate purposes from time to time. I mean, departments have to keep their people safe. And we do have some examples at the moment where there are some, you know, threats against people who work in on behalf of the government, and also where they undertake investigations into fraud and the like. But what we've seen in these cases, has been completely unethical use, potentially outside of the law. The State Services Commission undertook this piece of work and discovered that there were a few examples across a couple of departments. But I think, the Southern response was particularly bad. Now you will have heard, of course, the chair has offered up their resignation since that report has come out.
Just before it came out, actually.
On the cusp of.
Yeah.
So it was damning, and work is being undertaken now across government to make sure that we put that issue right.
I know you're relentlessly positive, but you have to point the finger at the former government for letting it happen. Would they have known it was happening or not?
It's happened over about the past decade, so it goes back as far as from memory. In some cases, some use as early as 2007.
Right.
It's not entirely clear, of course, whether or not at ministerial level. I would doubt some of these things would ever necessarily come up to that level. However, concerns were raised in the past. We decided that we would properly investigate it. So I do think it's fair to say it should have been looked into a bit earlier.
And I guess by doing that, you eliminate hopefully happening again.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Well, hopefully happening without your knowledge again. That'd be right.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. And finally, it is Christmas, and it is 2018, and the world is doing what it's doing, and money's doing what it's doing, and poverty is doing what it's doing. And I think I'm not just sucking up on this. I think that this government is getting quite a lot of flack about the homeless and the poverty situation in New Zealand, when that's definitely something that's come about as a result of a lot of inaction from the previous government. But you're in a position now where you're the Prime Minister, you're running the country, and you're part of leading the coalition. How do you feel about the fact that there's unprecedented amounts of people at food banks and city missions and the like throughout the country, you know, from top to bottom, where it's just not happening for people. People aren't earning enough money to be able to survive and the lifestyle that we all are supposed to be able to, you know, when I say supposed to, that we all expect to be able to live.
And we've always said, I mean, that is a focus for us. We've said the next budget, we want to be a wellbeing budget. We are focused on child poverty. Yesterday, we passed our child poverty legislation. It's forward-leading.
Yeah,
And so that's a big, it is a big step for us. But we've always known it was going to take a while for us to be able to see the changes that we want coming through to people. So it was in July that we put through the $5.5 billion families package. That benefits, roughly, once it's fully rolled out, 380,000 families. 774,000 New Zealanders will get are now eligible and receiving a winter energy payment to boost their incomes over winter. So everyone who's on a benefit and anyone who's a super annuitant receives that. We've created 1,200 new public housing places. Of course, stopped the state housing sell-off and have started building state houses again. And we gave a really explicit, and this is probably, we shouldn't underestimate the difference this makes, we gave a really explicit direction that we wanted work and income to be focused rather on stopping people accessing the help they need, actually really facilitating it, taking an approach that says, what are you entitled to, that if people were coming in, particularly during winter with housing need, that we would support them. And I don't think we could hand on heart say that was happening before. So, yes, we're seeing a spike in those numbers, but, you know, I've asked officials to look into this a bit more. We have tried to change the culture of work and income, so I fully expect that those numbers would go up, and they have.
Yep.
And so I don't want to say that necessarily, yes, we need people to have better incomes, and we need to stop that demand, but we also need them to be able to access that help. And I don't want to create an incentive where we try and turn down those numbers when actually it means that we're getting help to the people who need it.
What I'd like to see this year in regards to the people criticising the government is people coming up with better arguments. Because I think that we're just watching this bizarre sort of people trying to sum up all sorts of terrible arguments to say this government's not doing a good job. I think you're doing a great job. That's my personal view. And you yourself are nothing short of inspirational. What about taking on this job for the last year and having a kid and stuff? And how's your family? And Merry Christmas. And thanks for being part of BFM. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's, I know that, that, you know, we're just a little radio station here, but
enjoy the chat. And so, I'm looking forward to catching up with you again next year, and I need to come in studio sometime.
Wasn't that stoked when I went to buy a fishing rod and your partner's face was on every single fishing rod that I wanted to buy?
Since when's that happened?
He's got another urn on the side, obviously. But the
this is the way he tries to legitimise his hobby.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, have a great Christmas anyway. But
thanks
for being part of the Breakfast Show this year. We really appreciate it and look forward
to... Safe holidays, everyone.
To great 2019. Cheers. Thanks, Prime Minister.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.